This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. My voice is a bit low. Is that okay? Can you hear me well? Allah, how beautiful and wonderful this wonderful, wonderful audience. MashaAllah, I see a lot of young people, am I right? Young people, mashaAllah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. My brothers and sisters, my topic today can be a little bit sensitive and it might trigger some people. So the topic is about parents and children and our relationship together. And in this talk, I'm going to talk a little bit about the parents and then about the children, mostly the teenagers. And we're going to talk about some of the rights between each other. And when is it okay to, or what are the boundaries between us? What does it mean to obey our parents and to follow them and to listen to them? And what does it mean that the parents, you know, rights towards their children mean? And are there any boundaries? How do we connect together? So let's, inshallah, delve into it. I've only got 30 minutes. I hope, inshallah, we learn something. My brothers and sisters, when you change the way you look at something, the thing that you're looking at changes. When you change the way you look at something, the way that something looks changes. So let us, inshallah, look at things from a different angle, and you'll see many doors open up for you, inshallah. Let us begin, first of all, with what Allah tells us about our parents. And then I'll talk about what Allah tells us about our children. I think you'll like it. Allah says in the Quran, the famous verse which all of us know, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وقضى ربك ألا تعبدوا إلا إياه وبالوالدين إحسانا إما يبلغن عندك الكبر أحدهما أو كلاهما فلا تقل لهما أف فلا تقل لهما أف ولا تنهرهما وقل لهما قولا كريما واخفض لهما جناح الذل من الرحمة وقل رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا. Allah says in Surah Al-Isra, Surah number 17, verse 23, your Lord has decreed, do not worship any but Him. Be good to your parents. And should both or any of them attain old age with you, do not say to them even the word, oof. Neither speak to them rudely, but speak to them with respect and be humble and tender towards them and say, Lord, show mercy to them as they nurtured me when I was a small child. So the first thing we understand, my brothers and sisters, is to remember why Allah has put so much emphasis on the niceness and kindness and respect to our parents. I think you already saw in this verse what it means. Oh Allah, give them mercy as they raised me when I was a little child. When you were a baby and your mother carried you for 9 months, the pain and the agony that she went through, agony upon agony, is one for your life. The second one is when she went into labor. Agony upon agony and pain twice. And then she had to breastfeed you and heal from her labor. And some mothers would have breastfed their children for 2 whole years. Her nourishment and everything about herself, it was all about you. When you were a baby that time, you had no strength. You were only weak. And your parents showed you mercy, and they would rather give your life, their life for you instead of their own. And your father was there for you to make sure that you are protected and secure until you grew so that you can become slightly independent. Then as a child, you were still dependent on your children, on your parents, until you became a teenager. And then suddenly the strength comes in, your mind comes in, your independence comes in, and now you want to be your own person. But with that comes the respect and the kindness to our parents until our death. Their right is so much that even after their death, we still owe them 5 rights. Number one, to make dua for them. Number two, to ask Allah to forgive them. Number three, to connect the family ties that are connected because of them, like your uncles, your aunts. Number four, to carry out the bequest. If they left a bequest behind to do something, you carry out what we call their bequest. And fifth is to be considerate to the friends that they used to have. These are the general rights. And at the same time, brothers and sisters, I don't want you to mix up between obeying your parents in everything and allowing, and the right of your parents to control everything in your life, and between being kind, respectful, and dutiful to them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentions, be kind and respectful to them, and serve them and be there for them for all their needs. But of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He put boundaries to that too. You have your rights and they have their rights. It is a big test to raise children. And it is a huge test to also look after your parents. Parents are a test for their children, and children are a test for their parents. My dear brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then tells us in another verse, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ووصينا الإنسان بوالديه حملته أمه وهنا على وهن وفصاله في عامين أن اشكر لي ولوالديك إلي المصير وإن جاهداك على أن تشرك بي ما ليس لك به علم فلا تطعهما وصاحبهما في الدنيا معروفا واتبع سبيل من أناب إلي إن إلي ثم إلي مرجعكم فأنبئكم بما كنتم تعملون. Surah number 31, verse 14, Allah says, we enjoined upon man to be dutiful to his parents. His mother bare him in weakness upon weakness, and his weaning lasted 2 years. We therefore enjoined upon him, give thanks to me and to your parents. To me is your ultimate return. But if they press you and pressure you and try to force you to associate partners with Allah, then do not obey them, and yet treat them well in this world and follow the way of Him to turn to me in devotion. Eventually it is to me that all of you shall return, and I shall then tell you all that you did. Some young people say to me, "Tayyib, my parents mistreat me. Do I continue to show them that kindness? They don't deserve it." Some young people say it not knowing what they're saying, really. They're saying they don't deserve it, maybe from their perspective. So for example, some young people might say, well, if my parents go along this way, that means I'm happy with them. But if they don't go along that way, for example, you want something and it doesn't go your way, then suddenly we might think that our parents are bad to us. So please be careful and analyze and think. Are they really being bad to you? Or are you just being a person who is thinking more about your needs and forgetting their needs? Number two, there are parents who are truly oppressive and they are horrible to their children. They exist and we hear about them night and day. Some of them use this verse like a guillotine and a sword on their children, as if to say that I own you and everything about you and I get to control everything about you. Some of them use dua and say, if you don't do this or if that happens and I'm not happy with you, I beseech Allah to be angry with you till the end of time. Some of them use that as a weapon. And some of them do go further into even more horrendous situations. But they are, my dear brothers and sisters, the exceptions. The normal norm of parents is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, even if you disagree with them, even if they tell you to do something that's, you know, harsh and hard, even if sometimes you don't have to obey them, here's the thing. You always have to be respectful to them. Like no matter what. Some say, well, they're not respectful to me. I say, your parents have a special place. Even if they are disrespectful to their own children, you don't do the same. You need to break that cycle and not be that same person. Because one day when you have children and they watch you the way that you treat your parents, they're going to treat you the same way you treated their grandparents. Mark my words. You need to break that cycle and know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given both your parents and you a guidance and a path. And look at this verse, what it's saying. Allah is saying to you, all of you are going to return to me. And Allah is saying, I am going to question both your parents and I'm going to question the children. Each one, did you fulfill the duty and did you look after the trust which I gave you? O parents, did you look after those children that I gave you temporarily? They're mine. Allah is saying they're mine. You don't own them. I gave them to you as a trust, as a gift, and I gave you authority over them to a certain degree for a purpose, to raise them, to look after them, to teach them, to educate them, to teach them about Allah, to leave a beautiful generation behind. And if you do so, I will make them an intercessor for you on the day of judgment, and because of them, you will enter paradise. Or did you not fulfill that trust? Did you break it? Did you abuse your rights? Did you use the verses of the Quran? Same with the children. How did you treat your parents? Allah is going to say, I made them get weaker and older, and you saw that before your eyes. They got sick, they got older, they got feeble, you got stronger, you became more independent. And what did you do with that strength? Did you abuse it? Did you mistreat them? Or did you fulfill how I commanded you? Don't you think, brothers and sisters, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't know that there are families who go through struggles and that there are harsh parents and harsh children and all of that? Yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala still says to you, وَصَاحِبْهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا. In this verse here, it's talking about disbelieving parents. And not only disbelieving parents, it's talking about kafir parents who are forcing their children to worship idols, forcing their children to swear at God, to swear at the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to disbelieve in the Quran, to talk harshly about Islam. These are the types of parents Allah is talking about. This is abuse. Yet Allah is saying, just don't listen to them. Don't obey them. Don't go down that road. But the way you oppose them, you need to find a way to oppose them without crossing your boundaries. Oppose them respectfully. You know, brothers and sisters, something that I find among, because I've been a teacher for a while, and I find among teenagers, my students, something that we need to teach more often, and I hope, inshallah, some of you here can do courses like that, or among you who are teachers, to teach communication skills. Communication, management, and organizational skills. To be able to look past just myself and to put myself in someone else's shoes and be able to communicate in a way that I can get to them. I have this formula. It's called AATT. And it'll work in anything you do. All right, I'm just going to give you this for free. You want to open up a business, you want to deal with customs, you want to deal with your parents, with your spouse, with your children. Always use it this way. If there's something that someone's complaining about or opposing you about or, you know, showing harshness about it, number one, listen. Then number one, acknowledge. I understand what you're going through, and, you know, I can see that you're frustrated. Number two, I call it AA, I'll call it AV. So validate. AV, validate. Say, and I can only imagine how hard it feels. Mum, Dad, I understand, you know, and it must be really hard if I was in your shoes. Or a parent says it to a child, say, you know, Habibti, I understand, you know, to a daughter, I understand how what you're going through, and, you know, it must feel really hard. Then talk, tell them the advice. And then when you tell them the advice, in the end, thank them. Thank them for listening. And always thank them to give you feedback. Brothers and sisters, wallahi, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us a way of how to communicate, and you can really reach a person's heart if you can master that. Anybody. There's a book called How to Make Friends and Influence People. It teaches you how to win a person's heart. And subhanAllah, when I read it, written by a non-Muslim, it kind of agrees with a lot of the sunnah and seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the way the Prophet, peace be upon him, used to approach people. So there is a way to oppose people by still respecting them. My brothers and sisters, I've heard young people say, if my dad spends on me, it's his duty. My mum spends on me, it's her duty. Okay, what do you mean it's their duty? It means they brought me into this world, they've got to feed me, I owe them nothing. I didn't ask them to bring me into this world. Subhanallah. They forget that it is Allah who brought him into this world. They forget that it is not up to us who's going to be born and who's not. Some of us, we can't even have children. And they forget that they're going to be questioned by Allah, and this is a test for them. Your parents are a test. And they forget that one day they're going to get married and they're going to have kids, inshallah, and their kids are going to do the same to them. And they forget that their misery and their sadness and their issues in life is because they're distant from their parents and they're very selfish. What do you mean it's your duty? So a parent, yes, it's their duty, but who's going to stop them if they don't spend on you? They listen to Allah. The fact that they are obeying Allah, the fact that they are doing it out of love, the fact that they acknowledge that you're their child, that requires a reciprocation. They also have rights on us. So please don't speak to your parents that way, because the circle will happen again to you. My brothers and sisters, my advice as well to parents in dealing with your teenage children, please understand that they're still learning. Have mercy on them. Be compassionate towards them. And what I mean by that is not by giving them everything they want. No. Being compassionate to them is the following. Do these 7 things in your life and make them a habit with your teenage kids, especially if they pass that and they become adults forever. Number 1, try to be a listener. Parents, listen to your child without judgment. And for example, some children, some teenagers, they may have gone up to no good, and suddenly you'll find that they lock themselves up in their room. One minute they've been out talking to family, and the next minute they just change. They isolate themselves, they go into the room, they close the door, and suddenly you think something's going on, right? A parent has to understand that they are now going into the world and they're starting to become adults themselves. So obviously they're going to fall into some problems, but if they're not able to come to you as a parent, then you've got to re-evaluate how your relationship is with them. The most successful parents I have come across in my life are the ones who their children can come to talk to them about any problem. So once they do that, tell them, look, son, daughter, I'm here to listen. And wallahi, I will not judge you. Now, parents might, some of them might get an anxiety attack and say, oh my God, I don't know what's going on. And if they tell me they're going to lose the plot, I say to you, listen, it is better for them to tell you about the problem now before it advances and gets even bigger later on when it's not going to be able to be dealt with. Let them talk to you now. There's a parent of mine who gave me this idea, a parent that I spoke to. He says he's got a daughter who is about 11, 12 years old. And whenever he agreed with his daughter, saying, listen, if there's anything sensitive we're going to talk about, we need a word between us. And then she goes, what's the word? He goes, let's say, for example, balloon. Balloon means we're in this vacuum and we're protected. So that means we can talk about anything without any judgment. And that worked tremendously because that child now grew up to know that there is a safety net, that they can talk to their parent without being judged, and so they can work on solutions, inshallah. Number 2, Show your teenagers interest and your adult children, or your, especially as they're growing up, maybe 9, 10, 11 years old, show them how you are also interested in their hobbies. Don't belittle their hobbies. They're allowed to have games and hobbies and share it, even if you don't enjoy it. Number three, talk about their feelings and your feelings. Parents can talk about their vulnerabilities and talk about on a deeper level rather than just rules, instructions, consequences, school. And when they come home, it's another school. You know, homes these days are two types. They're either totally neglectful or totally military. Another school. They come back home, another school. Or they go to school, come back, and it's neglectful. On their iPads, on their audio visuals, all night, no care. You've got to strike a balance. So what happens here is talk on a personal level. Walk together and talk on personal levels. And be vulnerable a little bit, O parents. And you watch your children will start opening up, inshallah. Number four, acknowledge, validate, tell, and then thank. Acknowledge your children's feelings. Validate them. I see. Start like this. Say, I see that this is upsetting you. Number two, I can understand how it's hurting you. The pain is, you know, if I was in your place, I'll feel the same way. And, you know, say, look, I understand, you know, Baba, I understand. And then number three, talk. Say, can I say a few words? I'd like to say, talk. This is on a deep level. Wallahi, if you have this on a weekly basis, inshallah, or whenever a problem happens, then subhanallah, your relationship with your children will only increase and they'll become better human beings, better Muslims, inshallah ta'ala. Number five, give them some space as they get older. You know, you don't have to always hone in onto them, walking onto their room. Give them their privacy. They have a right to their privacy. Don't go to their phones without their permission, for example, unless you have a really serious concern, something that really is there. That's a different story in order to protect your children. But other than that, let them feel that they are, you know, I'll tell you something. My brother and I, when we were about 18, 19 years old, I found out a hack with my dad. My dad had this curfew on us. He said, you have to come home at 8:30 p.m. Now that's pretty bad because when you're out with your mates and it's 8:30 p.m. and then you go, oh, I've got to go home. You're an 18, 19 year old and your mates are looking and thinking, are you all right, mate? You're still a baby? And then, you know, it was quite sometimes very hard. So my brother and I would sort of stay a little bit longer and then the phone call, we didn't have mobiles at that time, but so that's why we got away with it. And then the phone calls would go to like different parents' houses. And then when we got home, my brother and I would come in through the window and we'd try and tiptoe. And then every time I remember, you know, one time came at night and I said, you go this way, I'll go that way. And then in the darkness of the dark, I hear my dad's voice. Where were you? And then we just freeze. And then we start blaming each other. But my father was very good with us. He started explaining, look, it's okay, just keep connecting because I fear for you, you know, as you're going out, I need to feel that you're responsible. So I found a hack. Every time I'd go out, I'd find the phone, I'd call my parents and I'd say, I'm here, I'm with these friends, we're just having a good time, inshallah, we'll come back at this time. And I would stick to it exactly. Now, my brother didn't do the same thing, right? So then as time went on, my father started to trust me outside because I'm the person who will keep them sort of, you know, knowing where we are. And then every time I went out or my brother wanted to go out, my dad would say, you go out with your brother. You're not allowed to go out unless you're with your brother. So the idea is that you need to, as you get older, you got to show your parents that they can let go a little bit as well and that they can trust you. So at the same time, parents, you let go a little bit and let them try the world by themselves. Agree together with rules in the house. And number seven, teach them what the boundaries are under your roof. I have a mother who once told me that her son's taking drugs. And every time she comes into the house, he brings in the drugs, he's got siblings. And I said to her, okay, what are you doing about it? She goes, I don't know what to do. You know, the other day the dad wanted to call the police. I said, all right, have you tried this? Have you tried that? Have you tried speaking to organizations? Have you tried speaking to friends? Have you tried to place the rules? She says, we've done all of that. And now the son's doing it openly. I said, all right. In the end, after everything, I said, call the police. She said, but I can't put my son into this. I said, if you don't do that, your son is going to either lose his life or he's going to get his siblings onto these drugs or something worse is going to happen. So she did that. He ended up in prison for a little while after a long time. came out, they gave him rehab. We attached him to Muslim brothers in an organization, alhamdulillah. And after all that help, got married, and he settled his life, alhamdulillah. Sometimes parents do have to take strict measures under their roof and boundaries. My brothers and sisters, I've only got a bit more time, so I want to talk now about what does it mean to obey your parents, and do you have to obey them in everything? Islam is a religion of balance. It does not tell you to be a robot. It does not tell you that you have no rights. So here we go. When are you not obliged to obey your parents? And parents should know this, and children. Number one, this is unanimous agreement among the scholars. Number one, when they tell you to do something that is a sin, they tell you to, for example, let's say you're driving and they say, actually that's harm, a sin. They say to you, for example, you're not allowed to wear the hijab. Don't wear the hijab. You don't obey them in that. They tell you don't pray. You don't obey them in that. They tell you, for example, you know that cousin of yours, we don't talk to them. Because we don't talk to them, you're not allowed to talk to them. No, you don't have to obey them in that. But you remain being dutiful and respectful to your parents, but you still don't obey them. Can you do that? Can you disobey your parents while still being respectful to them? Yes, you can. Yes, you can. I know a brother, he takes it like a sportsmanship style. What do I mean by sportsmanship style? Whenever his mum or dad get upset, he gets up, he hugs them, he smiles, goes, Wallah, I love you so much. I'm not going to listen to that, but I love you, mum and dad. And you know what? I'm going to do this. The way he approaches his parents, always with a smile, with this pampering, with his beautiful words. And if they do get really upset, he does sit down and he says, look, I know you're upset, mum and dad, but Wallah, I love you so much. I can't obey you this way because Allah told me I have to see my cousin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told me. But. Then he comes back, gets some gifts, and he just does not let them. They can't get upset with him. There's a way to approach. And if you can master that, Wallahi, it works, inshallah. Number two, you don't have to obey your parents if what they're asking you to do has no benefit to themselves at all. So there's no personal benefit to them personally. They're just telling you either out of their own whims or their desires, or sometimes it can become control, or just because they want to give you their opinion. So it could be in a good way as well. Son, daughter, for example, don't go into that course. I don't want you to do an engineering course, you've got to do a medicine course. You're not allowed to do a trades skill. You have to go and do, for example, accounting, right? Or they come up to you and say, okay, well, you're not allowed to marry this person. You must marry that person. Over my dead body, it has to be that person. Both for daughters and sons, you are not obliged to obey your parents in doing the things which they are telling you to do, which they personally don't have a benefit to it, and it involves only you. Now, with marrying someone or doing something else, if there is harm that will come upon your family or your parents, then you should listen to them. For example, if you're going to marry someone who's going to cause harm to your parents, such as in certain cultures overseas, maybe not as much here, but certain cultures overseas, marrying a certain person will bring a, a disgust or shame on the parents. For example, somebody's done terrible things and you want to marry that person and your parents are going to be affected, your family's going to be affected, then they have a right to tell you don't marry them because of this. But other than that, they're not allowed to force you to marry someone whom you do not want to marry. This is haram and it's a major sin to force them to do that. Number three, you don't have to obey your parents if it's going to harm you. If it's going to be dangerous or harmful to you. For example, you're driving and your father's with you and then he says to you, just, you know, cross the red light. Drive at 140 Ks, for example. And you know this is dangerous, or you're probably going to get a ticket. You're probably going to get the police after you, for example. Or they tell you, for example, to, something's going to harm you. Your money. They say to you, you must take out of your money and give it to your siblings or to your cousin and so on. And as a result, you're going to be in hardship, financial hardship. You're not going to be able to pay bills, for example. Not going to be able to pay for your courses. If you're going to be harmed financially, you don't have to obey your parents in doing that. Another way that it's harmful is when a parent asks their married son or daughter to go and sort of oblige the spouse. For example, obliges the son's wife to spend on her in-laws. That's not right. That's taking away the rights of other people. Or they oblige the daughter that if you marry this person has to also spend on your parents. These are examples where in Islam it is actually forbidden even from the parents to do so, because this is taking away the rights of other people whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given. Which brings me to the topic of money and property. Someone asked me the question, must you spend on your parents? The answer to that is, number one, if they are in financial need and their money is not enough for their basic livelihood, then yes, you must spend on them enough for their livelihood. But this is only upon the son, the boys, not the girls, not the daughters. If the daughters do spend, it is out of their own goodwill. It is considered a sadaqah. Number two, if the parents are not in need of financial help, then no, you are not obliged to spend on them. For example, one father said to his son, got his children and said, every month you have to give me an allowance. Even though the father had his own income, he had his own properties, he's got money, and then you get these children and says, you've got to give me an allowance. Islamically, it is not an obligation to do so. Yani, if you have enough, give your father, give your mother out of goodness, out of love, out of compassion. But to force them and to make it a thing in Islam where you are in sin if you don't do that, that is not true. But of course, brothers and sisters, we don't do it out of harshness. We do it out of love. And no matter how much you can help your parents, you help them. But what I'm talking about is about parents using these laws to make it like as if we're right on their neck, you know, as if it's like, it's as if I'm putting my child in a position of proving his loyalty to me. Let me see your loyalty. Will you give me this much every month? That's not right. There is a hadith which some people have mentioned to me. They say, didn't the Prophet, peace be upon him, say, "Anta wa maluka li abik," you and your wealth is for your father. There is a long hadith about that. The hadith is authentic. However, this is where fiqh, jurisprudence comes in, try to understand what the Prophet, peace be upon him, is saying. The meaning of this hadith is, you and your wealth is for your father, meaning this was in relation to a man who said, "Ya Rasulullah, my father, he wants to take my money, he wants to use it." He said, you and your money is for your father, meaning your father is allowed to use your money if he is in need of it. Where did I get this? From another hadith. You see, Islam explains itself from different angles. You can't just take one hadith and go with it. You've got to take other areas and other ayat. Aisha radiallahu anha narrates another hadith, which is in Ibn Hibban, that the Prophet, peace be upon him, said, if the parents are in need of financial help, they are allowed to take from their son's money. And if they don't have a son, from their daughter's money. Their needs. For example, a father needs to pay a bill. He doesn't have any money to pay the bill for his electricity. He needs food. Your mother needs food. They haven't got enough. What do? They're allowed to take from that money. Otherwise, it's not literal. Your parents don't literally own you and your wealth. Otherwise, they will inherit everything. As soon as you die, we can say, well, if your father's still alive, he'll take all of your inheritance. But that's not true. Because in the Quran, inheritance has to be divided. The mother gets a share, the wife gets a share, the children get a share, the grandparents get a share. Had this hadith meant that our fathers own us and our wealth, they'll inherit everything, but Allah did not make it that way. And of course, this is what it means, inshaAllah ta'ala. So I finish with this and then conclude, inshaAllah. A father or a mother can request money from their children, and their children must give them, otherwise they are in major sin, on four conditions. If these four conditions are met, then you're obliged to help your parents. Number one, if it's not going to cause harm on the child, then that's the first condition. A parent can request money. Number two, the son does not need it for his livelihood. So for example, a father can't come along and say, that car that you have to go to work in, you can't drive it anymore. You can go take the bus, or you can walk to work. I'm going to keep driving it. You're not allowed to do that. So if it's not going to cause, it's not the livelihood of a child. Number three, if they say to you, I want your money to give it to your siblings. No, this will cause enmity and hatred between the siblings. So a parent cannot force the child to say, give me your money to give it to your siblings. Unless one of your siblings is truly in need, they've got a surgery, they've got a heart problem, they haven't got enough money, then they can come up to you and you will. And if you have surplus wealth to help your sibling, then you must obey your parents. Number four, the parent is in need of it for his or her livelihood. So these are the four conditions where we must obey our parents if these four conditions are met, insha'Allah ta'ala. Imam Malik said that one man came to him and he was married, and he said, "Ya Imam, my mother, she watches me. Every time I have an income and every time I get a gift, I have a wife, I have children, she says to me, you must go and give your sister a share first before you give your wife, before you give your children, before you give anybody. Every time she does this to me, Imam, and I don't want to disobey my mother and get the wrath of Allah." Imam Malik said to him, "Be kind and sensitive to your mother's feelings. At the same time, you are not obliged to obey her." Because the Prophet, peace be upon him, said that your wife and your children are the first in line of financial provision. Why? Because the wife has no one else but her husband. In Islam, the husband has to provide his wife. Number two, the children don't have anyone but their mum and dad. As for the parents, yes, they have the son, but they may have other children. And they also may have their spouse, and they have other people, inshallah, can help them. So the children, it's a balance. Everybody has their right, but at the same time, brothers and sisters, let me tell you something. Brothers and sisters, your parents, no matter what happens, even if they are harsh, even if they are, you know, the way they talk to you or degrade you or anything like that, I want you to remember this. Number one, make dua for them. Say, oh Allah, in your prayer, guide them and forgive them. If Allah guides them and forgives them, you will have a better life. So ask Allah to guide them the way Ibrahim alayhi salam said, oh Allah, guide my father. Number two, if parents, your children are going astray, make dua for them. For Nuh alayhi salam did not give up on his son, even when he became a disbeliever. He was on the ark and he kept on telling him, come on board the ark, my son, until the waves came and took his son away. Don't give up on your children no matter what. Number three, brothers and sisters, if you are experiencing a very tough time with your parents or with your children, number two, the idea is try your best to stay calm in the time of conflict. Do some breathing exercises, walk away, get yourself used to it, because if you argue back and forth, it's not going to work. Number two, accept the situation. Say to yourself, look, I can't change my parents. Or if your child is like that, at the end you can say, I can't change my child. But work with what you can work with them. Yani, avoid the harm, work with them in the way that you connect. Number three, don't retaliate, as I said to you before. Number four, look for your future as a hope. Alhamdulillah, you've got your whole life ahead of you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to, you know, let you move on. Number five, make dua, as I said. Number six, talk to someone that you trust. Don't just isolate yourself. Some people, they say, I'm either, you know, they talk about cutting off. They say, I'm going to abandon my parents. I'm going to abandon my children. I'm going to abandon my relatives. Habibi, you don't have to abandon everything. Keep a little string of hair between you and that person. Don't cut them off completely, because then you never know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will change. And number seven, look after yourself. You know, distract yourself and make yourself busy with your other hobbies, looking after your health. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always puts us through tests and sometimes through hardships so that we may learn from them or grow from them, or because Allah is going to direct us in a right place, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a plan for us. My brothers and sisters, in this life, there is no eternal rest and happiness. Sometimes happiness, sometimes sadness, sometimes hard times, sometimes easy times. My brothers and sisters, this world is a test. And until we realize that it is a test, then we're not going to be able to live a life with peace in our hearts. And I finish it with this beautiful story of an imam who I used to follow when I was a child, rahmatullah alayhi, he passed away. I'll say his name, you won't know his name, Sheikh Ahmad Al-Qattan. He's from Kuwait, which I grew up as a child listening to him. He had a father who was, I think he described him as more of a communist. And he didn't really believe in God except, you know, very, I don't know, some weird belief. And his father became debilitated. So he became so debilitated that he had to stay in his bed, and if he has to go to the toilet, he has to do it in his bed. So this child, he became religious and he became an imam, and the father was extremely harsh to him. He used to swear at him, degrade him, talk badly about him. He would swear at his religion. He would swear at his, you know, every time he read the Quran, he would put him down in every way, shape or form. He said, "Father, please don't say that," but his father wouldn't listen. So what did the Sheikh do? He said, "I continued my journey that Allah is pleased with me, and I did my duty as a son for my father. And if I was harmed, I would just avoid the harm as much as I can." He said, I made a hole under his bed, and we used to have a bucket in there where he used to, you know, relieve himself because his bowels weren't working. He didn't have control over them. He said, one day, the bucket, I was cleaning it, and you know, it was somewhere, and then my father was needed to relieve himself. He says, so then I put my hands under it, under him. And everything inside him came into my hands. And I didn't complain. I took it and I washed my hands. And my father, for the first time, looked at me and he got teary. He says, "Son, I've been degrading you, putting you down all your life. And you would do this? Why? Why would you do that?" And he said, "It is Islam, my dad. I only want to please Allah, dad. I want to enter paradise, father. And you are the way that Allah has given me as a test through it." Because of that, his father repented and he died a believer, knowing what Islam teaches you. Now, this is a story that is personal to me, but what I want to share it with you to tell you, brothers and sisters, please don't give up because you're going through certain hardships. I gave you a few ways to deal with it, inshallah, and there is always light at the end of the tunnel. Seek support, seek help. If it's too much for you, you can distance yourself, but don't go all the way, because wallahi, it's miserable when a person feels that they're just alone in this world with no relatives, no cousins, no family. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ease the pain and struggles of any of you here and around the world who is going through any kind of problems like this in the family, because the family is the most important element of our life, and it is the most important, it's the most hurtful place for ourselves. So I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to ease your struggles and ours, and to ease the struggles of all our brothers and sisters around the world. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lift the atrocities of our brothers and sisters in Gaza, Palestine, and everywhere around the world. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help our brothers and sisters in the Myanmar who are still going through persecution at the moment. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala assist and support and raise the ranks and the peace of our brothers and sisters of Syria. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you all. Thank you. Jazakumullahu khair. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.